welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service at the California United Church of Christ. We'd also like to invite you to join us live and in person at our services this morning. Church is at 10:30 at our location of 101 North Oak. Sunday school precedes that at 9:30. And also, our minister, Reverend Cobb, preaches out at Salem UCC on Route K at 8:30. Be glad to have you join us, and thank you for listening to A Time of Hope.
Join us this morning with the prayer of the day. Holy God, you call us to live out your justice and righteousness. Help us to walk in your footsteps so that we never lose our way. Enable us to live and love in the way that you have taught us so that we can act in grace even with those we consider our enemies. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
Kendra Hall leads our children's time.
All right, who is this?
Joy.
Joy from Inside Out. And what does my Christmas ornament say?
Joy.
So did you know that joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit? So joy is a character from Inside Out, and joy is also something that we talk about a lot at Christmas time, but it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Do you remember last week Joanne brought a banana and she was talking to you about fruit and fruits of the Spirit? So what does joy mean besides a character in a cartoon and something we talk about at Christmas time? What's it really mean, Bruce? Okay, it's kind of like happiness. Any other ideas? It's kind of like happiness, but it's a little bit deeper in our hearts. And it's something that only who can give us?
God.
Only God can give us joy. And this ornament also says, I bring you good news of great joy. So at Christmas time, what did God give us?
Joy.
But the joy came from Jesus, baby Jesus. That was the joy that we got. So what are some ways that you experience joy throughout the day or the week? Can you think of anything that really brings you a lot of joy? Christmas brings you joy, yeah, especially in your family, right? Well, I've experienced some joy this summer because, you know, all this rain brings us lots of pretty wildflowers, and I even have some butterflies that keep coming and visiting my flowers, so that brings me joy. But I know that butterfly or that flower didn't just appear out of nowhere. Who created all those things? God did. So this week, try to look for some joy. Look for some things that bring you not just happiness, but like a really deep-seated happiness that you know only comes from where? Only comes from God, right? And our Bible verse today that Pastor Russ is going to preach about says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So that right there shows us that God is the only one who could give us all the joy that we need. All right, let's pray. Dear God, please help us to experience your joy in the way that we live our daily lives. Please also help us to share the joy that only you can give. Your joy is always something that we should turn to even in the hard times. We love you and amen.
We were pleased to have special music by the California Community Band.
Thank you.
Beth Knapp reads the morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's continuing series on fruits of the Spirit. This morning, he preaches about joy.
Our first scripture lesson today comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 118, verses 14 through 24. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound to the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in my eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Our second lesson, comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 18 through 26. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you, again your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Here ends the scripture lessons.
The fruit of the Spirit, joy. We're going to look at some different definitions of biblical joy. But there's a difference between worldly happiness and biblical joy. One person mentioned it this way, that biblical joy is a happiness based on unchanging divine promises and eternal spiritual realities, that they don't change. It is a sense of well-being experienced by one who knows all is well with him and the Lord. That reminds me of the last verse of Psalm 23 when David writes, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." To me, that's a biblical definition of joy. But we have this battle. When Paul writes these fruits of the Spirit, he starts off in Galatians chapter 5 talking about this battle that we have between our fleshly desires and our spiritual gift that's been given to us. He starts in verse 16, he says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what it is contrary to the Spirit." The flesh is constantly wanting pleasure and satisfaction, but it's at odds with the Spirit. And the Spirit is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then he lists the obvious signs of the flesh. But then he says in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, the foundation, and biblical joy." And then he says in verse 25, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." As Kendra said in her children's time this morning, John chapter 15, verse 11, John writes, or Jesus says, "I've told you this so that my joy," Jesus' joy, "may be in you, and that your joy may be complete." There's something lacking when it's only our joy. because our joy goes up and down. It's dependent upon having a good day or a bad day. When we drove down to Branson on Friday, we saw different cars scattered along Highway 65 at different times that had their hoods up or had their trailer jacked up because the tire was bad. I'd say that's a bad day. Driving down there, now you've had to stop and worry about the condition of your car. But Jesus says that your joy is incomplete. Our joy that we try to have on our own desires is incomplete. The only way that your joy can be complete is that if you put me in your life. And so this morning, we're going to try to define godly joy. And when we end, there'll be one more definition of joy to take home with you. And we're talking about godly joy, not happiness. Happiness is external. It's based on chance. It's based on circumstance, just the weather today. But godly joy is internal. It's by our choice, and it's based on Christ. But there's some things in our life that will steal our joy from us. The first one is selfishness. When we only look and are worried about our needs and our satisfaction, how we are going to get ahead. We see that with the disciples and with Judas. Toward the end there, we see Judas had kind of developed a selfishness and greed about money. We see in John chapter 12 when Jesus had the perfume put on his head that Judas made to stay. Why wasn't the perfume sold? It could have brought a lot of money for the poor. But John writes kind of as an addendum to it. He says he did not say this because he cared about the poor, because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. It's the same way with us. We only focus on ourselves, on our own satisfaction, our own things. We don't see other people around us. Selfishness can steal our joy. Resentment's a big stealer of joy. When we look at other people and we become resentful because of what they have or what we don't have or that they're recognized and we're not recognized. But what is the secret, the true biblical joy? I think we find it in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. He starts off there, he says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God. The foundation to the secret of true biblical joy is we remember that when we come to Jesus, we have peace with God now. That we can rest, no matter what storm is around us. No matter what hurricane or what chaos our life might be in, no matter what successes we might be having, it could possibly take our eyes off of Him, we have peace with God. I think that's what the psalmist was writing in Psalm 23. You know, no matter the darkest valley, the greatest green pasture, the quietest stream, you know, when I get hurt with, you know, my enemies around me, I have peace with God. And the reason I have peace with God is because my relationship with Jesus Christ. He finishes that verse, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access to God by faith into this grace in which we now stand. See, we got to realize what we have. A lot of times people are telling me when you start to have bad days and you start to get down, start listing the blessings that you have. Be thankful at night. Just start listing them off. Because one phone call could take any one of those blessings away. And everything changes forever. At our foundation, the reason we can have a secret of biblical joy is because our peace with God through our relationship with Jesus. And Jesus said it this way, that if you remain in me and I remain in you, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. We need to be reminded of that relationship. And that's one reason we can have true biblical joy no matter what the circumstance. And but then he goes on in Romans chapter 3 that we have the hope of the glory of God. That no matter what success or failure, we have a hope. Peter calls it a living hope. It's not a temporary hope. It's not a hope based on a success of a sports team. I see a lot of pictures of people playing softball and travel baseball. And they may go 5-0 or 4-1, and I'm happy for you. But that's temporary joy until you get to the next tournament and the next tournament and the next tournament. The thing that Jesus is talking about is a living hope. It's always there. It's always flowing in our life if we remain attached to Him. But then He tells us that we need to see the big picture. That when sometimes happen in our life that we start to question, and it's hard to have the joy of God in our lives. He tells us in verse 3, not only so, but we also glory or are joyful in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. James calls it pure joy when we face suffering. Pure joy. That's interesting. But this suffering produces perseverance, character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us or put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Even the tough times can be joyful because God develops deep spiritual roots in our life. Several years ago when we had our garden in Hallsville, we had rain like this all summer long, and the beans never developed deep roots. They stayed on the surface. And when the first real storm came, a strong wind, it blew all the beans over and it, you know, detached them from the soil because they had not had any times of dry weather so they could get deep roots to go down to the moisture that was necessary. Sometimes tough times come for us to develop deep spiritual roots. When the soil is dry on the top, our roots go deep to get down to that spring of joy that only is found in the source of Jesus's well. But we can see the big picture, that God's had something bigger in store for us. And then He finally ends this little section of Scripture, verse 8, that we have been saved not because of the great things that we've done, but because of God's love, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we remember those basics, when we imprint those on our mind, when we remind ourselves, when we read regularly through our Scripture, be reminded of those things, we can have joy no matter what circumstance. It doesn't mean we're laughing. It doesn't mean that we, are smiling through all of it. It means no matter what the circumstance, I have peace with God. I have a relationship with Jesus. That He's my hope, my living hope. He sees the big picture of my life. He has a purpose for me. And that no matter what I've done in my life, He still loves me. But really, the rubber meets the road of how do we live a joyful life? Jesus tells us that we are meant to produce fruit in our life so people recognize us. He says later on in John 15, He says, this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So people recognize that's a Christian right there. They go through tough times just like me, but somehow they don't fall apart. Somehow they have something bigger than themselves. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. We live a joyful life because we can remember God's promises. His promises that He's created us. His promises that He will never leave or abandon us. His promises that He has gone to prepare a place for us. His promises that He's left His Holy Spirit to live inside of us. And that He has a plan for us to live. I've got these different plants in my garden. Some of them are being successful right now. Some of them are still struggling because they don't like all the rain. And they set in areas that where the rain doesn't drain as well as it should. But no matter what the circumstance or the fruit of the Spirit, maybe you struggle with joy. You've had so many things go against you and your plant has not grown very tall. Maybe your roots haven't gone very deep and you haven't produced a lot of joy. So how do we make that joy happen in our life? We need to first of all focus on giving and not receiving. When you're only focused on yourself, you don't have anything to give to others that are around you. When you're holding on to everything you have, your hands are not open to receive so you can give to others. We see in the parable, the different parables that Jesus talks about, the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son, that there's joy in finding lost things and bringing them home. I would encourage you, whatever ability you have, pray to God to show you a place to use that ability. I'm going to just make a suggestion or two. The local nursing homes. If you know how to draw, go in there and do drawings. Do drawings of the residents and give them a drawing. There's a girl at California Care, little Amanda. She's always doing drawings and giving those to people that come to visit to her. Maybe you play music, like our band here. Or maybe you play the piano. Just show up during lunchtime or dinner time. Start playing on the piano right there. My Uncle Frank's in a nursing home down near College of the Ozarks. He's got dementia. He doesn't remember any of the family. We went and visited him on Friday. But the one thing that spurs him is music. People will come in and start playing on the piano or playing. Someone after church will bring their guitar in and start playing their guitar songs. He starts clapping his hands. My Uncle Frank never clapped his hands when we were at. He was a very kind of stoic man, a man of few words. But music touches him now. Could you go over and just play some music, whatever instrument you have? Or maybe you have another ability just visiting with people. Maybe you know someone that's there. Use that ability. Focus on giving and not receiving. You'll see joy take place. Your joy will be ignited. Focus on healing and not hurting. When we focus on the hurts that have been done to us, we just keep picking at the scab and they never heal over. And if you want to make sure the other person, you never forgive them, all you're doing is hurting them and hurting yourself. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Focus on healing, not hurting. Send a note to someone that maybe just, or find a subject with someone. It's awkward sometimes, but find something in common. I found that it's grandchildren. Someone maybe that we've had differences with, if I ask about a grandchild, smile lights up, baby. All right. They brag about grandchildren. You know that, brag about grandchildren just like you do. Mine's better than yours anyway. But no, that's just kidding. But they'll talk about grandchildren. And you start to break down that barrier of hurting instead of healing. And then the last one is focus on God's power and not your problems. When Betty and I were on vacation in Tennessee, we were out at this cabin out in the country. There was a few other places, but not very close by. Peace and quiet, man, that's what we were looking for. But about 2 o'clock in the morning, one of the worst things ever invented happened. A barking dog that won't stop. When we'd go to Betty's house, her mom and dad had a blue heeler that would stay right below the window of our bedroom. And anytime he saw a coon or a possum or anything in the middle of the night, he would bark, which was every time we were there. And Charles would say, Russ, just hit the wall, and he'll stop barking. And so, man, I pounded on that wall to keep that dog from barking. Well, we're out there in Tennessee. I didn't feel right about hitting the wall. The dog wasn't that close, but it was just irritating enough. And I'm laying there, and finally I said, God, I don't want you to destroy that dog. Just get it to stop barking, please. 10 seconds later, stops barking. I don't know if he shut its mouth or he eliminated its life. I don't care, but it stopped barking. Simple illustration. But focus on God's power, not your problems. Just like that Psalm 118, he says, I was surrounded, everything's going against me. I turned it over to God. My life was about to end. I turned it over to him, and he saved me. But to have that fruit of the Spirit of joy in your life, you've got to have the Holy Spirit in your life. It's not called the fruit of self. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And Scripture is very clear about how we receive that Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 says, when you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote the Galatians, so in Christ Jesus, you're all children of God through faith, through belief. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. If you've never made that decision, never confessed and never believed, never followed the example of Jesus in baptism, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You're trying to do it on your own. Jesus said, my joy to be in you, to be complete, I have to come into your life. Jesus, or the writer of Hebrews, said this, that when Jesus faced the cross, he endured the cross because of the joy set before him. I don't see any joy in going to the cross, except for us selfishly. But I think what the writer there was saying, that Jesus saw the end of his mission. He saw the end of his obedience to the Father, that once he completed that, he would have the joy of fulfilling his mission. What is the joy that God has set before you? What is the joy that God has set before you? One final definition of joy: the happy state that results from knowing and serving God. My question to you today, do you know God and are you serving him? If you have questions about that after church today, Alan's going to be up front, I'll be in the back. If you've got questions about making a decision of faith, or if you just need someone to pray with you with some of those things that are stealing your joy, we want to be with you and walk alongside you this morning. The song that I picked this morning is Rejoice, the Lord is King. It helps to sing when we're going through difficult times. It helps to remember little songs, and we'll sing one here in just a little bit, I'll Fly Away. But I hope these songs bring joy and that you have a relationship with Jesus that will not only bring you joy today, this morning, but for every day for the rest of your life.